Inspector West. Calling Chief Inspector West.
Stand by for West. A crime file based on John Creasy's novel, Inspector West at Home, dramatized for radio by Maurice Travers. Inspector West at Home, starring Patrick Allen as Chief Inspector Roger West of Scotland Yard, and Sarah Lawson as his wife, Janet. Part 4, A Call from the Whistler.
Lois.
The Whistler, I knew he'd come.
Lois, sweetheart, what are you so scared of? I've never seen you like this. Who is this Whistler? Inspector West, do you know?
I heard of him today, Mr. Tennant, for the first time. His name's Malone. He runs a mob of strong-arm boys.
And what's it got to do with Lois?
Well, you better ask her that.
I've got another idea. I'll ask him.
Bill, no. Don't open the door.
Lois, I'm going to settle this right here and now.
About time. Step aside, sonny boy. Lois, doll, I don't like it when I'm kept waiting.
Oh, don't
wrap
you
up, sonny boy. I'm talking to the girl.
Well, suppose you talk to me instead, Malone.
Well, well, look who's here. The Yard's bright boy himself, Chief Inspector West. The bent copper. Taking any good bribes lately?
Well, let's have a little chat about that, shall we?
Now, don't make me laugh. You can't throw your weight around anymore, copper. You're suspended. The Yard's giving you the bullet. So beat it and take sonny boy here with you. The doll and I are going for a little ride.
Like hell you are.
Bill, there's nothing you can do.
You heard her. Do a scarper, the pair of you. On your way before I have to get rough.
Go ahead, get rough.
Tennant, watch
it. Keep out of
this,
Inspector. I'll take care of it. All right, Whistler or Malone or whatever they call you. Show me how rough you can be.
Oh, no.
You ask for it, sonny boy.
Ah! Tennant, watch out.
Look, fast enough, Malone.
Bill.
Look out, he's got a knife.
You what? Now.
Ow.
Right, Mr. Whistler. Let's see you whistle your way out. I guess I'll make certain.
Tennant, wait.
You understand? Oh, damn it.
I reckon that's the last we'll see of Mr. Whistler Malone.
Bill, you fool. You don't know what you've done.
I've chucked him down the stairs. That's what I've done.
Oh, Lois, sweetheart. You don't have to worry about a yob like that.
Does she, Inspector?
Well, it's plain to see you don't. You handle yourself very well, Tennant.
I should do. It's my job, you might say.
Is it?
Unarmed combat. I'm an army instructor.
Oh, is that so? Well, I'm blown.
Oh, it's not funny. Malone won't forget this. You don't know him. You don't know what he can do.
No, I don't. And it's more than time I did, Lois. Well, do you mind leaving, Inspector? My fiancée and I have to have a private talk.
I'm afraid I can't go yet, Tennant. I've got a strong personal interest in all this. Miss Randall has some explaining to do.
No, leave me alone. I've got nothing to say. I can't tell you anything. I can't.
Lois!
No!
Lois!
Tennant, she can't get out of the flat through that room, can she?
No, she can't.
Then I suggest you leave her alone for a little while. Let her have a good cry. Might help.
Look, what the devil's this all about? What's Lois got to explain to you? And what did you mean before that Whistler hoodlum turned up about her ruining your reputation at Scotland Yard?
Well, she contributed to it. Someone's been making an effort to frame me, Tennant. A damn good effort. I'm suspected of accepting bribes. Sir Guy Chatworth, my assistant commissioner, has suspended me from duty.
And you say Lois is involved in it?
Yes.
Now, just how is she involved?
Well, for a start, she's been impersonating my wife, depositing sums of money in a bank account of mine.
Lois has? Oh, you can't be serious.
There's no doubt of it, I'm afraid.
Well, I just can't believe it. Lois mixed up in this sort of thing?
Yes.
But I'm stationed up in Scotland, Inspector. I wangled this leave earlier than I expected. I didn't let Lois know. I thought I'd make it a surprise. Looks as though I'm the one who got the surprise.
You had no idea she was in any kind of trouble?
Not a clue. I turn up and I find her like this, terrified out of her life. She nearly fell through the floor when she saw me.
How long have you and Lois been engaged?
Only a couple of months. Happened on my last leave. As a matter of fact, I practically had to bully her into it. She kept trying to find excuses.
She's a frightened girl, Tennant. And it's more than Whistler Malone. There's a man named Pickerel. I'd say he's the one responsible for Malone turning up here.
Yeah, I know Pickerel is her boss. That society she works for, what's it called?
The European Relief and Assistance Society.
That's it.
Well, our Mr. Pickerel is closely involved in my frame-up. There's a police alarm out from at this moment.
Good grief.
And there'd be one out for Lois, too. Except that I haven't told the Yard about her part in it.
Huh? Why not?
Well, she's been acting under pressure, and I want to know what that pressure is. And I want to help her.
Because she can give evidence to Cleve?
Yes, but not only that. I'm thinking of her, too. You can believe that.
Yes. Yes, I do. I don't mark you down as a liar.
Thanks. Now, is there a phone in this flat, Bill?
No. Oh, but there's a public one, though, on the next landing up.
Right, I think we need a bit of help.
All right, Mark, I'll answer it. Chelsea 1492?
Oh, it's me, Jan.
Oh, Roger. I hoped you'd ring.
Listen, I'm at 23 Chapel Street, St. John's Wood, flat number 9. Got that?
Yes, darling.
Now, I want you and Mark to come over here as fast as you can make it. Now, if there's a yard man still watching our house, then
I... There won't be, surely. Not any longer.
Well, I'm far from being in the clear yet, Jan. I'm still under suspension. And if I know my superintendent, Abbott, he'll have Bell Street under surveillance. Not just till I prove myself innocent, but till he's got it in writing and in triplicate.
Oh, don't mention that man's name to me.
Now, look, the vital thing is that you mustn't lead a yard man here. Somehow or the other, you've got to lose him, understand?
Yes, yes, of course. I'll tell Mark and we'll get over to St. John's Wood as quickly as possible.
That's my girl. Bye for now.
Bye, darling. Mark!
Right here, Janet. Who is that, Roger?
Yes. He's given us a bit of a problem. Now, you're the one who writes books about crime and criminals, Mr. Lessing, so it's up to you to come up with a solution.
Well, I can but try. What's the problem?
Well, Roger says that... Oh, Lord, who is it now? Chelsea 1492?
May I speak to Chief Inspector West, please?
Well, I'm sorry he's not here at the moment.
Oh. Would that be Mrs. West by any chance?
Yes, that's right.
Mrs. West, this is Mrs. Raymond Fleming.
Oh, yes, Mrs. Fleming. Roger told me that you called here this morning.
Can you tell me when your husband will be home, Mrs. West? I must speak to him. It's most important.
Well, I'm afraid I can't say. But I'll be seeing him. Could I give him a message?
Will you see him before this evening?
Oh, yes.
Then please ask him to come here at 7:30. It's number 11, Bannock House, Hampstead.
Very well. 11 Bannock House at 7:30.
You will make sure he gets the message?
Of course, Mrs. Fleming.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Mark, you're quite sure you weren't followed?
As sure as I can be, Roger.
Oh, good.
We changed taxis twice, then we used the underground.
And changed trains a couple of times just to be on the safe side.
Fine. Well, I've given you an idea of the situation here.
Have you been able to get anything more out of the girl?
No, I haven't had a chance yet, Jan. She's still in that room with Bill Tennant.
It's a dicey one, all right.
Yes. We've got to try and nurse Lois Randall into a better frame of mind. Now, she can give us the key to a large part of this whole affair, I'd say. But knowing what she does means that she's in danger, so she has to be protected.
By the sound of it, her boyfriend's not bad at the protecting side of things. I'd like to have seen him dealing with the Whistler.
I'd like to have seen him being a little bit less impulsive. I had a few questions to put to Malone about Joe Leach's murder and the death of Leonard Micklejohn. But the point is, young Tennant's made himself a bad enemy today.
When you talk about protection for the girl, you mean police protection?
That's the last thing I mean, Jan.
Oh, but
Abbott would never get anything out of her. With his tactics and in her present state of mind, she'd just collapse, I think. No, we have to cope with this ourselves and wait till she's ready to tell us what she knows.
So the thing is, what to do with Miss Randall?
Mm. And she mustn't stay here. Quite apart from Malone, there's the police to think of. Abbott's certain to check up on her. The trouble is, since being suspended from duty, the only information I can get from the yard is whatever Bob Cornish feels he can safely pass on to me. And I'd say by now, Abbott and Cornish will be investigating Mrs. Fleming's society.
Oh, my goodness.
What?
Mrs. Fleming, I forgot.
Forgot what?
Yes, she rang me just before we left Bell Street with a message. She wants to see you this evening, and she said it was most important.
Did she? Well, as it happens, I was planning to have a talk with the lady myself. But more important, let's get back to Lois Randall. We've got to find somewhere to hide her away for a while, somewhere safe. And there's young Tennant, don't forget. He'll want to be with them.
Well, what's wrong with putting them in a hotel?
Too many people in a hotel, Jan.
Yes. Too easy for her to give us the slip.
Well, not if it's a small one, one of those family hotels.
Yes, she could be right at that. Ah, and I think I know just the one. Leggett's Hotel in Buckingham Palace Gate. I know the proprietor. He's been very helpful once or twice. I'll go up and ring him now.
No, Mrs. West, I don't see the point of it.
But, Mr. Tennant, haven't we explained...
Hiding away in some hotel? I don't see why it's necessary.
Because you and Lois are in danger, Tennant, that's why.
No, I'm not hiding from a rat like Malone. I can take care of myself and of Lois.
Oh, look, don't talk like a fool. And don't get carried away with yourself just because you smacked Malone down once.
Roger's right. The Whistler won't come alone next time. He'll have a bunch of his muscle boys with him.
And you'll stand about as much chance as a snowflake in hell.
Inspector West.
Yes, Lois.
I can't pretend I wouldn't be glad to hide somewhere, but that doesn't mean I'm going to tell you anything. I think you should know that.
Yeah, she means it. I spent an hour trying to persuade her, but it was no go.
We're not worried about that for the moment, are we, Roger?
No. The first priority is to see that you're safe, Lois.
I just don't want you to think I'm coming with you on false pretenses.
There's no question of that, Miss Randall.
I've arranged everything with the hotel. And the faster we get you out of here, the better. So let's get moving, shall we? Yes, that's right. I want them round here at Leggett's Hotel right away. Yes, that's right. Goodbye. Oh, Mark, just the man I want.
Yes, Roger.
Where's Jan?
In Miss Randall's room, with her and Tennant.
Oh, good. Mark, I've just phoned Pep Morgan's office.
Oh, yes?
Well, thank goodness he doesn't run a one-man private inquiry agency. If I can't call on the Yard for help, at least there are his chaps to turn to.
What's the latest on Pep himself?
Well, they got the bullet out of his leg. He's resting comfortably in the hospital.
I'm glad to hear it.
I've asked for two of his operatives here at the hotel to help keep an eye on Lois Randall. You can give them the drill when they arrive.
Won't you be here?
I've got an appointment, remember?
Oh, of course, with Mrs. Raymond Fleming.
At 7:30. Mark, say nothing to Jan. But if you haven't heard from me within an hour after that, at 8:30, call the Yard.
Right.
Get straight on to the Assistant Commissioner, if you possibly can.
Is Chatwood likely to be there at this hour?
Well, if he's not, get hold of Ambert. Or failing him, Bob Cornish.
Right, I will. But, Roger, you're talking as though this might be some kind of a trap for you.
Well, I don't know whether it is or not. So I'm taking precautions. Now, one thing's for sure. Mrs. Fleming didn't come calling at Bell Street this morning simply to inquire if Jan would do some work for her society. And with any luck, perhaps I'll find out what the elegant lady was really after.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening. I'm here to see Mrs. Fleming. My name is West.
Oh, yes, sir. Madame is expecting you.
Thank you.
This way, please.
Thank you.
Mr. West, madame.
Thank you, Rosa. That would be all.
Yes, madame.
Oh, Inspector, I'm so relieved that you've come.
Relieved, Mrs. Fleming?
I've been worried in case you didn't get my message. I wanted you to come now, at this time, because I knew my husband wouldn't be here.
Oh.
I'm afraid Raymond's attitude to my society and the work I do for it isn't exactly... But please, do sit down.
Very well.
You'll find cigarettes in the box beside you.
Not for the moment, thank you.
Then can I offer you a drink, perhaps?
Mrs. Fleming, I don't want anything to drink or smoke. And most of all, I don't want you to beat about the bush. I trust you're going to be completely frank with me.
Oh, you're referring to my little pretense when I called at your house this morning. I hope you'll forgive me for that.
No, Mrs. Fleming, I won't forgive you.
I beg your pardon?
The purpose of your visit this morning was to draw my attention to your society, isn't that so?
Yes.
But because you weren't completely honest with me, because you indulged in your little pretense, I came close to stopping a bullet. And a good friend of mine did stop one. From a gun fired by your employee, Pickerel.
Inspector, you must believe me. I'm terribly distressed about all that.
You know what happened in Welbeck Street?
The police contacted me. Superintendent Abbott.
I see.
Inspector West, I know the trouble you're in.
Yeah, well, a hell of a lot of people seem to know. So it was Abbott who told you?
No, it wasn't. Well, that's why I wanted you to come here this evening. It's really why I came to your house in the first place. I hoped you'd look into things at the society and be able to find everything out for yourself.
And what is everything exactly?
Inspector, I want to help you, if you'll help me.
Oh. So there are strings attached, are there? You're after some sort of bargain?
Not as you mean it. You can judge for yourself.
All right. I'm listening.
First, you must understand how much the society matters to me. As I've implied, my husband doesn't altogether approve. It's really the only bone of contention between us. That's why I haven't told Raymond anything.
Come to the point, Mrs. Fleming.
Well, the point is that some kind of illegal activity is going on. I overheard Pickerel in a phone conversation. It was enough to tell me that my society was being used. And your name was mentioned as well.
Mm-hmm.
It came as a frightful shock. I didn't know what to do.
And just how long have you known about this, Mrs. Fleming?
Quite some time, Inspector.
Well, didn't it occur to you to go to the police?
How could I? I'd no idea what it was all about. I only knew there was something, and that the girl, Lois Randall, was tied up in it. My first impulse was to dismiss the two of them immediately. Then I had a better thought.
Oh, what was that?
Come over here with me, please, Inspector.
Well?
I'd like you to listen to this tape recording. It's all set up.
Oh, so that's what you did, was it?
Yes. I had Pickerel's office... Bugged is the term, I believe.
Mm.
There are more tapes in that cupboard, but this is the only one with anything of real value on it. You'll find it particularly interesting, I think, Mr. West. Hmm. Listen closely.
No, please, I won't do it.
We're not going to have any more foolishness of that kind, are we, my dear?
Turn the sound up, will you?
Of course you'll do it. The money is in that envelope. You'll deposit the amount in the Mid-Union Bank to Inspector West's account. Exactly as you have done before.
No, not again. I won't.
Don't be a stupid girl. Do I need to remind you of what will happen to you if you don't do as you're told?
Why are you doing all this? Why are you trying to ruin this man?
That's no concern of yours.
What's he ever done to you?
Very well. To avoid these tiresome displays of temperament and future, I'll tell you just this. On a certain day, some months ago, West was concerned with something which could possibly be dangerous to me and my friends.
What the devil is he referring to?
If by any remote chance he should stumble upon the truth, it could do a great deal of harm.
What could it?
And this is my way of preventing it. And let me have no more trouble from you, my dear Lois, or you know what the results will be. Now take that money and go. I wonder if West would ever really... The unlucky 13th. Superstition.
That's all there is, Inspector.
Mrs. Fleming, it's more than enough. This is all the proof I need to clear me at the yard. I can take this tape, can I?
Of course.
No, thank you.
There's no other copy of the tape, so do take care of it.
Oh, don't worry, I will. And I really am very grateful to you, Mrs. Fleming.
Then will you help me to protect the society? That's all I want. If there's any scandal or publicity, it might very well destroy everything we've been working
for. I'll do all I can, that's a promise.
Thank you, Inspector.
Now, too bad there's nothing on this tape to indicate exactly what Pickerel and his friends are mixed up in. You're sure there's no hint on any of the other tapes?
Quite sure. I just don't know what it could be. The only thing that occurs to me... You'll probably say it's too fantastic.
Well, tell me and we'll see.
Well, as you know, the society is concerned with Europeans who come to live in this country. Not only from Western Europe. We've dealt with quite a number of refugees from the Iron Curtain countries, too. I wondered if it might be something political. You know, espionage activity, something of that sort.
Yes, it's a possibility. Societies like yours have been used as a cover for spies.
What? That's Rosa, my maid.
I'll go and see.
Don't try nothing silly, either of you.
Who are you? What do you mean by...
Button it, lady. In here, boss.
Who's that?
They call him the Whistler. These will be a couple of his thugs.
Wrap up, I told you.
Well, what do you know? The bent copper.
Twice in one day, Malone.
You get around too much, West. Curly.
Right, Whistler. Hold still, copper.
The last time you had a right smart geezer with you. What was his name? Tennant. Here's something to pass on to him.
You swine.
Shut your trap, missus, or you'll get the same.
There'll be no need for that, Malone.
Pickerel.
Well, I might have guessed.
Shut up, you. I'm glad you're here, Inspector. I shall have some questions for you. About Lois Randall and her whereabouts, for instance. But first, I have more pressing business. With you, Mrs. Fleming.
What do you want?
It's a little matter of some tape recordings, my dear lady.
I don't know what you're talking
about.
Please
don't waste time with denials. We've discovered that my office was bugged, and obviously for some time. Now, could that be why the inspector is here? Malone, search him.
Hold still, copper. Nothing. He's clean, Pickerel, which means he hasn't received anything yet. Very well. Now, Mrs. Fleming.
I'll deal with her. All right.
Malone, let her go. Belt up,
come
copper.
On now, Mrs. The tapes... Or a broken arm. What's it to be?
Mrs. Fleming, tell them you've got no choice.
In there, in the cupboard.
Let's take a look. Yes, there you are. A whole batch of them. But there can only be a very few that matter. Which ones are they, Mrs. Fleming?
I don't know.
Cut the fairy stories.
Don't know. They're all...
Grab the lot of them, Pickerel. Let's get out.
Well, why load ourselves with anything more than necessary? We have everything under complete control here. And there's a tape recorder. It shouldn't take so very long to find what we want.
Pickerel. Pickerel, you're wasting time. You've gone through three quarters of the tapes and there's nothing worth worrying about.
There must be something on one of these tapes. Possibly more than one. I'm taking no chances.
What's behind all this, Pickerel? Framing me, using the society. It's something big, isn't it, huh?
West, you were told to wrap up.
Shut your mouth or you'll find a shut for you, for good and all. One more on the list, is that what you mean? To add to Joe Leach and Mickle John?
How the hell did you...
Wait there! The coppers!
What?
They're coming.
The police?
Just seen them. Two cars coming up the drive.
We must get out. I'll take the rest of these tapes.
Use the back way. But first, Mr. West, just something to remember me. Bye!
Okay, everybody. Now we scarper.
Inspector. Thank heavens you're all right.
Oh, Mrs. Fleming.
Ooh. Oh, your poor head.
Ooh, what did he use on me? A battering ram?
It looked like a cosh.
Yeah, that'd be it. Oh. Did they get away?
Yes, the police were just too late. I don't know how they happened to arrive. I'm just so thankful that they did.
A friend of mine. Good thing he did as I asked.
Superintendent Abbott is here. He's in the library.
In that case, I better...
No, you stay where you are. You mustn't try to get up.
Oh, I must. The tape.
Pickerel took the tapes, Inspector.
No, not the one that counts. That Chinese bowl on the table next to the tape recorder.
Bowl? I don't understand.
That's where I dropped it when Malone's strong-arm boys burst in. Oh, yes, here we are. You see?
It was there all the time.
Yes, right under their noses.
But that's wonderful.
What is wonderful, Lynette?
Raymond.
Am I allowed to know what's going on here? I come home to find my flat filled with policemen.
Raymond, dear.
And who is this gentleman?
Chief Inspector West.
Another one.
This is my husband, Inspector.
How do you do, Mr. Fleming?
I shall do much better, Chief Inspector, when I've heard what all this is about.
Oh, yes, darling, of course, I'll tell you. I'll tell you the whole thing. Well, Raymond, aren't you going to say anything?
I'm afraid you won't care for what I have to say, Annette. I find this whole story quite incredible.
Mr. Fleming,
if you please, Chief Inspector. Annette, all this only serves to convince me that I've been right all along about this society of yours.
Raymond.
Admirable as it may be to possess a social conscience, my dear, it shouldn't be allowed to rule one's head. You see the results. You have become involved with thugs and criminals.
I think you should know that your wife behaved very bravely, Mr. Fleming.
If that's meant as an admonition, you can spare yourself the effort, Chief Inspector. I'm completely devoted to my wife. And what I resent is the fact that she should ever have found herself in such a situation where it was necessary for her to behave very bravely.
But I'm all right, darling. And at least the inspector can now prove he's been unjustly victimized.
Yes, Mr. Fleming. And thanks entirely to your wife.
If any benefit has been derived from the whole wretched business, I'm glad, naturally. But that doesn't affect the main issue. I shall have to persuade Annette that charity, as the phrase has it, begins at home. Any outside applications of it are best exercised in the form of a check.
Oh, now, darling.
I'll have to ask you both to excuse me now. I must talk to Superintendent Abbott.
Inspector West... You won't forget your promise about the society.
No, Mrs. Fleming, I won't forget. Goodbye.
Here. Over here, Malone.
Well, what are you doing in here? I'd have said the saloon bar would be more your style, Pickerel. Well,
the public bar's safer, more crowded. And don't use my name.
What's this? Getting a touch of the nervousness, are we?
I am, it's not without reason. There's a police alarm out for me, you may remember.
There'll be one out for me, too, by now, I shouldn't wonder. But you don't see me shivering in my size 8s, do you? Anyway, we're among friends here.
Now, listen to me, Malone.
No, you listen. There's someone we both know who wouldn't like to think that you're getting into a panic, Mr. Pickerel.
It's all going wrong. Can't you see that?
Well, what I see is that you've got a glass in your hand and I haven't. I'll have my usual, Jimmy boy.
Roger, Whistler.
Now, suppose you calm yourself down, my friend.
That's easy to say. But I can see the way things are turning, even if you can't.
And what way is that?
Oh, don't be a fool, man. Too many things aren't working as planned. First, the business with West. That frame-up was supposed to put him out of the way. Instead, he's walking around large as life.
And with a hell of a headache.
Your point, Weasley.
Thanks. Here's your health, Pickerel.
Listen, Malone, don't you understand?
You've got it bad, haven't you?
We're in this together. Don't forget that.
Oh, I don't. Not for a minute.
Now that West's got onto the society... What if he gets on to the other thing?
The 13th of January? Is that what you mean?
Of course. And if he does, Then he'll...
Pickerel, I'll give you a bit of advice. Just you get hold of yourself. Pull yourself together. You'll never get better advice than that, my friend. Not if you were to live 100 years.
Leggett's Hotel, good evening.
Room 17, please.
Hello?
Jan.
Oh, Roger, thank God. I've been so worried. It's so late.
Well, first chance I've had to ring, Jan, love. I've been closeted with the assistant commissioner.
Is that where you are now, at the yard?
Back at my own desk, Jan, and it's official.
What? You mean...
That's right. Sir Guy Chatless lifted my suspension as of 10 minutes ago.
Oh, darling. But how? Why?
Well, I got hold of a tape recording. It clears me completely. Chatworth accepted it with no reservations. And he seemed glad to do it. I'll say that for him.
Then it's over. All over. Oh, darling, the relief.
Yes, you can say that again. But it's not all over, Jan. Not by a long shot. Now, I've got to find out exactly why I was framed and the real reason behind it. What it was designed to cover up. As far as I'm concerned, this is where the case really begins.
You've been listening to Patrick Allen and Sarah Lawson in the fourth part of Inspector West at Home by John Creasy. Listen to A Girl for a Hostage, the next episode of John Fawcett Wilson's production of Inspector West at Home.